good evening, brothers and sisters and dear friends. Or shall I say, kia ora, or maybe shalom. May the peace of God be with you. And I trust you had a wonderful day. Well, we've come into the next segment of reading through the book of Philippians. And we saw last week how Paul was so happy and joyful to preach the gospel to the lost. And this is a joyful letter, the whole letter. As we're going to continue through it in the next few months, you will just see these pockets of joy coming out. And so he was rejoicing in a really hard time of his life, but he concentrated on the gospel. Now we're going to continue reading from verse 15, and I'm going to read up to verse 19. Now listen to what he says. He says, some indeed preach Christ even from envy and strife, and some also from goodwill. The former preached Christ from selfish ambition, not sincerely supposing to add affliction to my chains. But the latter out of love, knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the gospel. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. And in this I rejoice, yes, and will rejoice. For I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Focus your eyes what he says there in verse 16. He says, the former, there's a group. And he identified that group in verse 15. He says, there are people who's preaching Christ out of envy and strife. You can listen to their messages and you will only find envy and strife. They want to preach controversial topics every single Sunday. It's controversy, controversy. And that controversy is always against somebody or somebody who said something. And that becomes the focus. He says, envy and strife. Now, back in verse 16, he says, those people preach Christ from selfish ambition. Now, just stop there for a minute because I'm reading from the New King James Version. I like the word which is used in the King James Version, because he uses the word there, contentions. The English word there, contentions. And that word there, in Greek, means it's somebody who's electioneering. It's somebody who's running for elections. And he's trying to gain some support and some votes from the people around him so that he can be in the office. You can in a way say this is somebody who are self-centered. They put themselves forward, self-appointing. And this is what Paul is encountering here now. Now, in order for them to do that, they have to envy and strive against somebody. And in this particular case, they are envy. They put themselves against Paul, and we call those critics. And we've all had them. You've got them, maybe still. I've got them. But there's two sides of criticism. One is a good criticism. Sometimes it's good for people to come out and to give you some feedback. But then you find this kind that Paul is referring to here. You see, why do I say it? It's because they are associated with envy and with strife. And now he says they preach Christ from selfish ambition. And they are not sincere, he says. Look at the words there in verse 16. Supposing to add affliction to my chains. They are going around and they are preaching controversy against Paul. And they took some of his subjects out and they preached that. You see, it's all about the content of the heart, the agenda that's in the heart. Now, these people were critics. And like I said, we all have them. A critic is somebody who expresses an unfavorable opinion about something or about a person. An unfavorable opinion about a person. Now, let me just say, it is only what it is, an opinion. It doesn't have to be the truth. If somebody criticizes you, the first thing you need to do is to unpack what they're criticizing. And then you need to ask yourself the question, is it true or not? If it is not true, then you've got something to work on. But if it's not true, then you can do what Paul did in this particular case in the ministry. Because he gives us three beautiful examples when he goes and he addresses these people. Now, first of all, he says that he is appointed for the defense of the gospel. And you can see how many times he brings the word gospel out. It's no doubt in my mind, in Paul's ministry, the gospel, the cross of Christ, is the center of his ministry. Each and every message of him comes back to Christ. He's not electioneering. He's not trying to get a following. He comes back to Christ. And that's the most important part that you need to take away from this. We find it today. We find churches who's building their church. They are building their brand. They are, and you can't, if you go against the brand, they will fight you. They will destroy you. And this is not what Paul says it is. For him, it is all about Christ. Not the brand, not the party you belong to, not your most favorite preacher. It's all about Christ. It's not even about Paul in the end. He's just defending the gospel. Now, there's three things that I want to bring to your mind here, which I think is important. First of all, Paul rejoices that Christ is proclaimed. Look at this. Look, it's at the end of verse 18. He says there, in every way that Christ is preached, and in this I rejoice, yes, and will rejoice. You see, for Paul, the most important thing is that Christ is proclaimed. Now, these people, according to what the feedback he got, is yes, Christ is proclaimed. Christ is preached. The only problem is now they're criticizing Paul. So their pretenses and their contentions is against him. But you see, God will deal with them. We find the same thing that happened in Mark chapter 9 verse 38. You remember when Jesus' disciples came around and they said, well, these other disciples who's casting out demons. And what did Jesus say to them? He said, don't stop them. Because if they're casting demons out in his name, even if they are not part of Jesus Christ's group, then we are not against them. But they're casting out demons in his name. It fascinates me these days that if people are not part of your brand of church, then, you know, we're not going to fellowship with them. We're not going to associate with them. If people leave a brand of a church, then they cut off. They just cut it off. You know, and so what is more important then? For Paul, absolutely is that Christ is preached. Now, there is a warning here that I want to bring out to you, because I've heard over the years in my ministry, people come and they say, those are false teachers, but at least they are preaching. No, no. You need to distinguish. If you preach the true gospel, the gospel which is Jesus Christ and Him crucified, and He's the centerpiece, then I don't care what your motives is, because God will take care of your motives. As long as you preach the true gospel, God will deal with your heart. But then if there's people who come out and they preach a false gospel, and maybe their motives are good, but they're preaching a false gospel, that is dangerous. And you need to measure it up against the word. So don't be hoodwinked here and pulled aside by people. But Paul is concentrating on that gospel, and he rejoices in that. The second thing that I learned from Paul out of this passage is that Paul trusts God's sovereignty. He trusts God's sovereignty. And I find it fascinating in verse 16 when he says, the former, they proclaim to preach Christ. They do it from envy and from strife. But you know what? God knows this. And he will take the good from that. Because he's a sovereign God. I remember there was a preacher in our church in New Zealand, Brother Pete, and he said to me once, when I was a little bit worried when somebody came up behind the pulpit for a testimony, I said to him, I'm really worried what this man is going to say. And he calmed me down. He said to me, Pastor, listen, don't you think God knows what this man is going to say? And if he says something not right, then you've got the opportunity to go and correct it. That is an opportunity. But here Paul uses this and he trusts God's sovereignty. He knows that God is ultimately in control, and that even his critics are being used in a way to proclaim the gospel. So you see, he focuses away from himself. He's not sitting there and saying, oh, I've got so many critics and so on, and you make himself a victim. No, no. He wrote in Romans chapter 8, verse 28. Remember that verse there? He says that we know that those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose. So first of all, Paul rejoices that the gospel has been proclaimed. Secondly, he trusts God sovereignly. And then thirdly, brother and sister, Paul focuses on the gospel. He absolutely focuses on the gospel. His critics may focus on him. They may focus on these controversial topics and all of those things. But instead of dwelling on his critics, he preaches the gospel. He says there in verse 18, he says, in every way Christ is preached. The gospel is coming out and the gospel is coming forth. In Matthew chapter 6 verse 33, Jesus tells his disciples that they need to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness rather than worrying about all of these other things in the world. So what can we take out of this? We have critics. Let them criticize. I love it when people criticize. I take it on board and then I analyze that. And then if I see what they've said is true, then I focus on those areas and I go and I say thank you. But if it is wrong, I come back to Christ. In your life, if it's not true, bless their heart. If it's true, just adapt to that. So hopefully we've learned something out of that from Paul this week. Now next week we're going to see that Paul is in a crisis and how he deals with a crisis. May the Lord bless you. Shalom. Go well until we see each other this weekend. Praise the Lord.